Welcome to Trailblazers, where we explore the inspiring journeys of entrepreneurs and industry leaders who are redefining success and making a lasting impact. These game changers are driving progress in our region and around the world. I'm Melody Bradford, your host. Welcome to another episode of Trailblazers, the show where we explore the journeys of the leaders shaping our region and beyond. I'm your host, Melody Bradford, and today's guest is someone whose impact in business, media, and community is both broad and deeply personal. Chris Morganelli is the co-CEO of MCIT, a leading technology firm in the Lehigh Valley, the co-creator of Network Magazine, and co-owner of Morganelli Properties, who has helped shape the region's commercial and residential footprint. But Chris is more than an accomplished executive. He's a family man, a creative mind, and a connector of people. From growing up as the son of Northampton County's district attorney, to navigating the tech and real estate sectors, to parenting, loss, and renewal, Chris brings wisdom, resilience, and heart to everything he does. This is a conversation about vision, perseverance, and the human side of leadership. So let's get started. Chris, thanks so much for being here today. You're the CEO of MCIT. It's a growing force in the tech space here in the Lehigh Valley. And for those who may not know what MCIT does, what drew you to lead that and start the company and lead its mission?
Yeah, well, first off, thank you for having me. Excited to be here today.
Absolutely.
MCIT has been quite a journey. This is our 10th year. And growing up, I've always been creative and looking towards building something larger than myself and solving problems and things of that nature. And having a computer science degree from DeSales University kind of put me on that path towards technology. How I ended up with MCIT, various different reasons and paths that was taken, but it's been really exciting. The growth has been fantastic. And as of today, we have about 60 plus employees. We have an Allentown location, a Bethlehem location. We're in 10 states. And we are a managed services provider, meaning we do cybersecurity, manage IT and tech support, digital adoption, business technology implementation, and with the way the world is moving, we are also working with AI, automation, and productivity for organizations.
Wow.
So really excited about the growth over the past decade and the people that I'm working with. I'm really proud to work with them.
That's awesome. Now, can you walk us through your early career path? Did you always envision yourself in business and tech? I mean, how did that start?
I always envisioned myself being an entrepreneur. I was the kid in the neighborhood with the homemade lemonade stand that I built myself.
Serial entrepreneur.
Yeah. So I always envisioned doing something that was a passion and truly my own. Tech, I think, evolved just as time evolved. Technology has become such a crucial puzzle piece to business and the world we live in today. So I think it was a natural progression of creativity, technology, and being having purpose in business today. So yeah, I think a culmination of different things pushed me in this direction.
And the growth, it seems, has really kind of lent itself to, the mission behind what you're trying to build here. What would you say is your proudest professional accomplishment so far? Is it that growth, or is it, because you have your hands in a couple of different areas. Morganelli Properties is a perfect example. What would you say is the proudest accomplishment?
Yeah, I think because, we have MCIT, Morganelli Properties, and Network Magazine, I think a blanket statement would be I'm super proud of the people that have joined my team across all the organizations. We have really good people that care about what they're doing. And they're making real differences. For example, the cybersecurity, we're protecting organizations' money, data, and reputations. The real estate side, we are getting families moving into their dream homes or starter homes, so making real difference there. And then with Network Magazine, we're bringing and connecting business leaders that want to have purpose and bring value to other relationships. So I think everybody involved across the board, I'm just super proud of who they are and why they got involved with my entities.
And do they ever intersect? Like, for me personally, I'm in banking, but I also do a lot of volunteer work. But my volunteer work actually serves. Mm-hmm. I mean, this podcast serves, you know, access to, you know, professionals.
I'm sure. Yep.
So from that perspective, can you speak a little bit about that? Does Morganelli and Network and Morganelli Properties and Network and MCIT, do they all kind of?
Yeah, there's in some capacity, right? So Network Magazine actually coincides with the timeline of MCIT. That was started 10 years ago also. And that was started out of a selfish need, right? Wanting to grow my network, build MCIT. And so I will say, I think I do contribute a lot of the success to MCIT with wining and dining prospects at these events, meeting new business opportunities. So that's a clear collaborative effort there. And Morganite Properties also does provide some insights to the commercial side of real estate in Lehigh Valley. You know, I get information when an organization is either buying a building, opening up a new location, and it helps MCIT where I can reach out and say, hey, you know, if you need help moving and resetting up your network, you know, we have a technology firm that is available to you. So yeah, there's some really nice introductions and cross collaboration that does occur. Yes.
Yeah. And you know, it's really a nice 360 degree approach to client service or client relationships, right?
Yeah.
But you also seem to thrive at the intersection of community and innovation. What fuels your drive as an entrepreneur and as a leader? Because that's got to be exhausting, everything.
It is, but it's also, it's exciting. My family will say I'm a people pleaser, right? I really enjoy making people happy, making people smile, helping solve problems. And so, you know, throughout my career, as MCIT at least has gotten larger, I've now been able to get more involved in the community. You know, I've joined a couple boards.
Yeah.
And I truly love bringing value to relationships in some capacity. If you look at Network Magazine's about page, it really says give first, right? And so I try and bring value in every situation. I think there's a lot of work to be done within our communities, and I thrive on it. I really do. I love learning about people, their backgrounds, problems they're trying to solve, growth goals that they may have, and seeing how I and my team fit into that puzzle and picture.
And I think, you know, a key to success and perhaps maybe the hallmark for your own success is bringing value,
you know,
from in that 360 degree approach. I remember at a recent event, you were asked to go on camera by ASR Media and say, why is the Lehigh Valley a great place to build a business? Can you share a little bit about what makes Lehigh Valley a strong place for business and entrepreneurship?
Absolutely. So I was born and raised here in Lehigh Valley, and I've seen the iterations and growth of this region. And so as an entrepreneur and business owner, I feel the economic growth is just so promising for a really fruitful future. And also the resources that are available in the Lehigh Valley for entrepreneurs to start up are exponentially available to them. I think there's such a diverse resource cabinet, if you will, with available to business owners and entrepreneurs that, you know, whatever the industry you're in, you'll be able to find a mentor or a resource to help you along the way. And so, you know, I have not moved away from Lehigh Valley, school all my life here, college. And I just think even geographically, I think it's a really promising area with, you know, the major cities around us.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned mentors there. You've led and launched across multiple industries. What's your approach to balancing risk and reward? Have you developed a gut sense over time? Do you rely on mentors, data, you know?
Yeah, so it's a mix. So trial and error, right? Failure. You know, these three businesses haven't, you know, these weren't the only businesses I tried to start up over my professional career. So I've learned through failure, which I think is super important to do. But also I have really good mentors and colleagues that I do look up to in terms of what they've built and their successes. And I do ping them occasionally with questions and, you know, learning from other people's mistakes so you can avoid them is always super helpful. And also gut instinct, right? You know, doing the business for 10 years, you know, you come across scenarios and situations where you have a sense and you follow your gut and your heart as well, right? At the end of the day. And yeah, it's a culmination of things. And, you know, even today I'm still making mistakes and learning from them and asking questions and always learning. So
what's one lesson you have learned?
Well, first off, it's the people, right? You have to have the right people
around you in the
right positions. And also what you do, whether it's providing a product or a service, it has to have purpose, right? It really needs to solve a problem. And I think that's where true success comes from, is solving a problem that someone else might not necessarily be able to solve themselves. And there's different degrees of that, right? You know, in cybersecurity and IT, not many people know how to do that, right? So we have a very valuable problem-solving company that we have. Mm-hmm. Real estate, it's a pretty saturated market in Lehigh Valley with realtors and whatnot, but we try and bring a unique perspective and approach to it that proves valuable to home buyers, sellers, and on the commercial and residential side. A network is just a means to give people options, I think, mm-hmm. at the end of the day for who they want to work with.
Can you expand upon a little bit more about Network Magazine? Not just, what it is, but why it is. What it does now as far as, who's included, okay. What feature stories are you doing?
Yeah, share absolutely. So Network Magazine came about out of an idea over cocktails with a good friend, Ray Bridgman, who is the executive director of Lehigh County Bar Association.
Yes, yep.
And it really came from a conversation where Ray and I were looking for more networking opportunities with real quality business professionals in the Lehigh Valley. And there are a ton of great networking events in the Lehigh Valley and organizations. But I was looking for something that was a little more higher end and something that I could kind of steer myself, right? Getting the people that I wanted to talk to into the room. And so we had this idea for a Network Magazine. And coming from a tech world, Ray was like, you want to do a print magazine? And so I said, we'll do digital and print. And he liked it. And so the concept came where we would have this digital publication with an online readership and exposure, but we would have this really sleek, very attractive print magazine that we would mail directly to businesses in Lehigh Valley. And it, the first issue was hard. We were selling a magazine that didn't exist yet. And luckily we had a ton of involvement to help us get off the ground. And 10 years later, we're thriving. Our events are quarterly based.
You celebrated the 10-year anniversary. Yep. Yeah, that's exciting.
Our events capture anywhere between 150 to 300 guests, depending on the time of year.
Yes.
And they are, we have live entertainment, butler d'oeuvres. We usually have a winery or a brewery there for beverages. And it's really a unique event where the guest list is steered by the advertisers and content contributors. So if you get involved with a magazine, you're able to invite prospects, clients, people you want to thank, whatever it may be. And so it's unique in the sense that, Ray and I aren't, we're inviting our own guests and whatnot, but mm-hmm. the bulk of the attendees are really driven by the people that get involved with the magazine, which I think is really unique and exciting because there's always new faces. There's always new businesses coming into the picture. And so it's evolved over the years. I mean, I've met so many fantastic organizations here in the Lehigh Valley, but it also has trickled outside of the Lehigh Valley into New Jersey, into the Philadelphia market and New York. And so Ray and I are really proud of it. We've had other partners over the years that have brought great value as well. And yeah, it's been a really rewarding and a unique venture that we've started.
How does anybody get involved with Network, whether as an advertiser or an event goer or whatever?
Ray, you got to give Ray credit. He's the one that's kind of spearheading all of that. But typically someone reaches out to Ray via the website or his email, which is on there. And they say, they want to contribute some content. We try and get educational content in there in some capacity. It's usually short and sweet and to the point. If this is a multi-issue commitment, we like to get some advertising attached to that because we like to add on some spreads that look really nice for the business. But if you want to be just an advertiser, we have media kits that we can provide to businesses. And we've heard some great stories of advertisers gaining new business clients and things of that nature from being in that publication. And we're really proud of the success stories.
That's awesome. So you grew up with a father who was the district attorney of Northampton mm-hmm. County. What was that experience like, and how did it shape your own values or leadership style? And I have to say, I've seen your dad in action litigating. He is fantastic.
He is.
Did that environment shape your sense of public service or pressure or anything? Can you share?
Well, it definitely played a role. I think, I will say I get great feedback from my dad and the compliments on him all my life I have.
He's probably seen it all.
Yeah, and I appreciate all the positive feedback and people talking about him in such a positive light. I will say, as demanding as that job has been over the past 30 years, he's always been there for our childhood growing up and whatnot. My parents were strict, but they let us have fun as kids, right? They let us make mistakes, but we always knew that there was a name that we had to carry out within the community. Mm-hmm. We had to make our parents proud.
Yeah.
And I think that I also carry with myself today, with our team members, right? We have a name, our company name, that I want you guys to be proud of. And so I lead with that mentality of, this name not only represents, the owners of the company, but you guys too. You work here and you have a choice where you want to work. So I want you to be proud of that. And so growing up with him as DA, it was fascinating. He, you know, he long hours sometimes, but he always was available. You know, baseball, t-ball, was always there. But you know, there was expectations to behave and be good, and it was fun. It was a great childhood, and I'm very proud of my dad and his career. And now that he's a county judge, I think he's done an amazing job, you know, getting to where he is.
Do you find yourself quoting your parents now that you're a dad? You know, did your family background influence your approach to that responsibility, service, and ethics?
100%. It's so my sister and my brother and I tease each other all the time. Oh my gosh, I sound like mom or I sound like dad, and it just shows that, you know, when you're younger, you think, oh, what are mom and dad talking about? But as you grow up and experience things, especially when you have children, they're right. Be good, be kind, you know, stay safe. Make sure you, you know, call your family, call your brother, your sister, say hello, check in. So yeah, they've instilled very significant family values in my brother and my sister and I. The gratitude we have for family, the time we spend together is very significant. And those that know my family in and around the community know that we are very close. My brother and sister and I are very close. And so I'm very pleased and grateful that my parents did instill those family values in us, because I hope Carter and McKenna grew up one day and have to value those same things.
So those family mantras and expectations still live on, and mm-hmm. kind of, yeah,
absolutely.
That's awesome. Chris, you've spoken openly about the loss of your son and how that changed you. Would you be willing to share how that experience shaped your view on life and leadership?
Yeah, absolutely. So after Carter was born, we were expecting a baby boy. And we knew there was going to be some complications and whatnot, but the outcome obviously was not what we wanted. And so we did end up losing Caleb. We named him during delivery.
That's my son's name.
Yes, I remember you said that, yeah. And it was early. It wasn't full term, but it was early enough where, you know, the expectation was, you know, not great.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, you know, that those moments that we actually held him, they hit home. It definitely, you know, as a father, you don't carry the baby for 9 months, right? The mother does. And so there's not a real connection until that life comes into the world and you get to feel and touch. And so it hit home. The moments that we wouldn't get, you know, that I envisioned with, you know, the kids in the future, knowing that he, you know, I wouldn't teach him how to play t-ball and things like that. Like little things that I expected now to do with Carter and sure. kind of growing up, it hits home. And so that whole experience has truly opened my eyes to how valuable life is. And this goes back to a lot of my comments of time is valuable. Spending them with loved ones is super important. Tomorrow's never promised. And so at the end of the day, it's obviously a terrible tragedy, but it has definitely changed me in a sense of I value the little things in life. And the things that the most people stress about, whether it's work and, you know, whatever it may be, you know, the things that upset people, they really don't matter when you look at the really important things in life, family, friends, time together, the little memories that happen. And so, you know, I ended up getting a couple of tattoos in memory of him, and you know, also some verbiage about family, and because it really made me open my eyes to, you know, life is very fragile, and every moment with your loved ones is super important. And so that's what I've taken away from that tragedy, and you know, anyone going through grief, you know, there is light at the end of the tunnel, and know that everything does happen for a reason. I truly believe I have a little guardian angel over me. Every time I drive past the cemetery, I do give a little honk honk. I do. And it's a calm space where my mental state is in terms of that loss and grief now.
That's awesome, because, you know, I mean, running different companies during that time, I imagine that could have been mm-hmm. very, that must have been quite chaotic, but pulling the hope and strength from that is kind of the silver lining, I guess.
Yep, absolutely. You know? And a great support system, too, as you know.
Do you think the grief and hope informed your strength and sense of purpose at all going forward, like now that you're, like, you know, moving forward and continuing to grow this company? Is it a motivator?
Yeah, in some capacity it is. I, you know, I'll focus on the kids, right? Everything I do now work-wise, you know, is with purpose and value to others, and also, you know, the future I'm trying to build for, you know, my children, right? And so, you know, knowing that life is valuable and time is scarce and it means everything to be around loved ones, I think that it extends into the business aspect of how I lead and keeping things more lighthearted, if you will. We're solving large problems in the business world, but at the end of the day, you know, I want people to have a personal side to how they think in IT, right? And someone calls in, they're frustrated. You don't know what their day could be like. Let's take a calm approach to it, and let's get them back up and running. So I think the going back to the concept of time is precious. You don't know what people are going through. Let's be compassionate and value the time that we have. Collectively, it has changed how I approach things, definitely.
That's actually really great advice for leaders, to be able to support their team, a team member that's going through something similar. Mm-hmm. That's really important. What keeps you grounded, especially when life or leadership gets overwhelming?
Well, family. Family is a common theme here. I'm very close to my family. My siblings, we have great relationships with. So, that time with family is super calming and grounding. I also do enjoy alone time by myself, or just to unpack, right? Have some silence. Growing up, my dad would sit in the garage in a lawn chair and just relax. And we'd always tease him, "Oh, where's dad? He's in the garage sitting there. Like, what's he doing?" I 100% get it now.
Any ritual you have now?
Well, I do the same thing now. I'll get a beach chair and I'll sit in the garage with the garage door open in the driveway. And, whether I'm drinking a beer or just sitting out having a cigar, just reflecting a little bit on whether it's a day, the month, the year, people I'm working with, the family. Having some quiet moments to myself, I really do enjoy. Listen to some podcasts here and there. Vacations, that keeps me grounded. Yes. Vacations obviously keep me grounded too. There's a little relaxation. So, but again, the overall purpose, the kids, they keep me grounded as well. Yeah. Carter's at an age where I just love listening to him talk, starting to talk. And, seeing the smile on kids' faces just really puts things into perspective.
Yeah. And so when you think about legacy, professional or personal, what do you hope people remember about Chris Morganelli?
My hope is that on a high level, the impact that's left behind is that I made a difference in bringing some sort of laughter or smile to people's faces. I am in my family, I'm usually the one that jokes around and teases. So I do hope I make people smile and bring a little bit of a lighthearted mentality and thought to the world and community. In terms of professionally, I would love these organizations, especially MCIT, just because that's the kind of, I call it my day job, where all my effort is right now. I hope that sustains and outlives me. I love for the kids to grow up one day, maybe want to be in tech. I want that organization to last for a very long time, because that's really protecting our community on the business level. It is helping people's businesses grow. So it's helping the economy here mm-hmm. locally. So I think that on a professional level, I really hope MCIT sustains the longevity past me. Mm-hmm. And my partners also have kids too. So maybe it's the next generation of ownership with the kids and stuff. So overall purpose, I bring value to relationships. It makes someone smile at the end of the day, really.
Yeah. And so for young leaders, aspiring leaders, mm-hmm. what advice do you have for those young professionals trying to find their own voice in business?
Yeah, I would say if you're hesitant about getting into business for yourself and become an entrepreneur, do it. It's super rewarding. There's long days and sometimes even years, but it's very well worth it. It's very rewarding. I would say continue building your networks, connect with people, ask questions. There are no silly questions when you're trying to learn and build a business. Mm-hmm. I ask questions still today to learn more. And again, going back to having purpose and bringing value. If someone sees whatever you may be selling, whether it's a service or product, they see value in it, you will be successful. And if you fail, keep trying. I mean, I've had many failures along the way, whether it's maybe a small decision or a venture. And I just continue to be driven and motivated to leave that lasting impact that we just talked about in some capacity. So go for it, 100%.
What's next for you? Any projects, passions, or personal goals you're excited to pursue?
So personally, one goes hand in hand, building these businesses to be able to spend a little bit more time with the kids, right? I'm recognizing how fast time goes. Carter turning 3, it seems like a blink of an eye. Mm-hmm. McKenna, 7 months old, is just insane to me as well. So, wow. Spending time with the kids.
Your hands full.
Yeah. project-wise for MCIT, we have some really exciting initiatives coming up. Some of them taking us across the country in the southern U.S. that we're really excited about. Can't talk about yet, but hopefully soon. Those projects will hopefully, knock on wood, change the trajectory and growth of MCIT as well. Morganite Properties, just adding more quality, genuine team members to the real estate team there. We have great people over there trying to help families find their starter home or dream home. And Network Magazine, I hope that just continues to grow a community that wants to bring purpose. You know, the slogan is connecting leaders, creating business. And I hope that continues to organically continue to grow over the next couple of years and stuff. So, but beyond that, I'm sticking with these three. There's no more no more ventures. I feel like I have the right teams in place to exponentially scale these now. And I'm excited about the future.
Yeah. Chris, how would you define success?
That's a great question. The ability to have time back. I'll use MCIT as an example because that's where I put all my focus. We went through a strategic merger last year, and it took us from, you know, about 15 employees to the 60 plus that we have today. And what it did for me is it gave me time back. So I felt that this was a very successful merger, and that MCIT is, and personally for me, has become successful, where now I am able to get time back to focus on what I do really well with an organization. And also now I have time with family and friends and getting involved in the community. And so I think success, obviously it's going to be different for everybody. For myself, is the ability to have time to do things that I have passions for. And it's business and personal. Success doesn't always have to be monetary, although, you know, I'm in industries that do well and are lucrative.
But there's something to be said for balance.
Absolutely. There's definitely a balance of it. And I know success for many different people is different, right? But for me, it's, you know, having financial freedom to do what I need to do to provide, but also time to do what I like to do with who I want to spend my time with. So,
any particular leader that you emulate or that you admire most?
Oh, gosh. I mean, in Lehigh Valley, on a local level, there's so many great leaders that I've met over the years that have been very helpful to my business and growth and connecting. And just to name a few, you know, Ashley Russo has been a great supporter of mine. Mike Molesky. You know, Ray has been a great friend and mentor of mine
for
as
sure.
Well.
Yeah.
You know, there's just so many in Lehigh Valley that that's why it goes back to, if you're an entrepreneur in Lehigh Valley, you have so many great business leaders. I could go on and on. There's just so many in Lehigh Valley that I look up to, not only from what they've built, but who they are as individuals. I think they value, like you said, there's a balance of both business and personal, what's important. So, and then, you know, grand scheme, big picture, you know, people that I look up to, what they built, you know, I think, you know, Jeff Bezos and what he's built is just incredible.
Especially in the tech space.
Yeah. I there's some other individuals out there that I think are incredible, how they think. You know, the ideas that they come up with are just incredible. And yeah, there's definitely people out there that I admire.
That's awesome. Well, Chris, thank you for sharing your story with us, both the triumphs and the trials. It's rare to find a leader who brings such honesty and empathy and multi-dimensional insight to the table. Whether it's in business, in print, or at home, you remind us that leadership isn't just about perfection. It's about presence, right? Mm-hmm. It's about showing up and doing the work and being brave enough to live fully through every chapter. To our listeners, thank you for joining us on this powerful episode of Trailblazers. Stay tuned for more conversations with the voices shaping our region and inspiring us all to keep moving and pushing forward like Chris.
Thanks
again, Chris.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.